You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hello, I'm Scott Soschnick.
And I'm Evan Novy Williams, and this is the Buy Me Some Peanuts and Cracker Jacks sports business podcast, The Sportacast.
Easy episode. We have Kurt Bodenhausen. We don't have to speak at all, but Kurt... As the guest du jour, please rate Evan Novy Williams' intro, and I don't want to influence you by saying it was cliche.
Clichés are clichés for a reason. They work.
Well,
it's opening day.
They work past tense. They work.
Kurt's always nice to me. Kurt should be on the show every day.
It's opening day. It's the perfect intro.
Oh, that you're just the worst. Just the worst. Speaking of perfect valuations, I mean... we do this as a tent pole here at Sportico. You do all the work. It's great. We bask in the glory because we talk about it all the time. But here we go. MLB valuations. Give me your 30,000 foot view. I mean, not going to be a surprise if we tell the world that the New York Yankees are the most valuable MLB team. But give me your 30,000 foot view from all the folks that you talk to.
Yeah, no surprise. Yankees number one. They've been on top for decades now. The big takeaway is the sky's not falling. I think 12 months ago, we were talking to bankers, we were talking to investors, and there was a lot of angst, anxiety about the RSN market. Now, things aren't perfect right now, but it looks like Diamond Sports Group will continue to be an ongoing concern. That's a plus. Most of the deals are still in place. They obviously dropped the Diamondbacks. AT&T got out of the business. So the Rockies are now with Major League Baseball. So there are cracks. But for the most part, most of those rights fees were preserved. Baseball local TV revenue was
tell
flat
the world
last year.
That baseball relies on local revenue more than any other.
Well,
major sports
well, that's why there's so much angst in Major League Baseball because yeah. It's local media. The rest of the business is doing very well, so the reliance on local media is down. But it's still 21% of the business last year, much more significant. The NBA is 13%. That will go down once they do their new national TV deals. NFL, of course, sitting on top
media.
Of the world,
yeah,
and all the national media, they have nothing to worry about. But overall, we had valuations up 12%, $2.64 billion. So still a big step down from what you see with the NFL and NBA, but positive momentum.
You published the specifics. I was actually shocked by this. The specifics of how much of the local TV money, specifically from Bally's, was retained, right? Bally's paid, and I don't correct me if the numbers are wrong, but 90% of what they were what they owed, and then that other 10%, baseball covered 80% of that?
They paid 95% of the money they were supposed to owe. The only people who took a haircut were the Padres and Diamondbacks, and they paid actually more than half of their money before they dropped them midway through the season, and then Major League Baseball made up some of the difference there with those two. But you've got to – I mean, you talk about Yes Network generated more than $250 million in cash flow last year. I mean, they're sitting in a very nice position. Nesson, the Cubs, the Giants, the Dodgers. These are healthy RSNs that still have value to them. But again, Bally's has their problems. But the rest of the business did great. Attendance, ticket revenue was up 15%, double-digit increase in sponsorship revenue. They introduced the New Jersey logos last year. They've signed, so right now it's about $200 million a year, with still a lot of teams still to go to sign deals. Right now, 18 teams have deals. And Major League Baseball needs to navigate its way through this current environment in terms of what the distribution is going to look like. and how you replace some of those economics. But at the end of the day, 162 games of valuable content, that's usually the number one or certainly one or two ranked programming in primetime for 6 months of the year, that's a nice position for them to be in.
Look at Kurt. He's like the dream of every TV network person. Won the night. You know, Major League Baseball won the night. Doesn't matter what the number is. We won the night. Like, we're competing against everything in this sports and entertainment ecosystem. So tell me, where did the Chicken Little come from that the sky was falling? Where did that come from in Major League Baseball? I mean, I would think the everyman perception is that baseball was in trouble. But clearly,
I still see the cracks in the sky, to be totally honest. Yeah.
There are cracks. Yeah. Well, the perception came from Diamond Sports filed for bankruptcy. Sure. Yeah. And once you're in bankruptcy, you don't know how it's going to emerge. I mean, Major League Baseball, they seem to be ready to kill Diamond Sports. And without Major League Baseball's buy-in, it was hard for Diamond Sports to keep going because of baseball's importance to that ecosystem. And again, the narrative, baseball's been dying has been the narrative.
Right.
I mean, how long have we been going
That's
on
my
here?
Point. We've been hearing nobody watches baseball. Kids don't play baseball.
Nobody plays baseball. The reality is it's still one of the most popular youth sports. It's getting, when you talk about valuations, there is a value equation here. You look at it, the average NFL franchise, more than $5 billion. NBA teams are selling for 11 times revenue on average. So baseball's sitting in that six and a half. That's pretty good value. Most of the teams are profitable. And so, again, they don't have the salary cap built in. Nobody has a structure like the NFL, which allows you to mint money. But baseball's, when you look at the other sports leagues, the bankers and people, investors who are looking at these teams see value because the prices have skyrocketed in the other sports leagues.
Here's my feeling on baseball, and Kurt, you and I talked about this morning at breakfast. Baseball, I just don't.
Whoa! I didn't know. Conversation.
You weren't invited.
Show are happening behind.
It wasn't even about today's show.
I know where I stand.
I just don't think baseball is cool, and to me, that is the big grave concern. Looking deep into the future, I don't like basketball. I recognize that the NBA is cool. NFL, I get it. It's cool. I just don't think baseball is there. And that's the thing that concerns me. It's less about youth playing it. And I know some youth have walked away, but it's still massive participation across the country. The concern for me is that outside of strong local businesses, which baseball undoubtedly is and will continue to be, on a national level, I think the cool factor just isn't there.
But you know
that
me.
That's the concern for me about baseball long term.
All right, so we're going to say baseball is the CBS of sports, right? The average age, right? It says 60 minutes. You know, stay tuned for 60. Fine. Let's just say that. Yeah. Okay. Got the golf coming up on CBS. Okay. Although Burson's replacing McManus, let's see what happens now. And I have my focus group of one. Kurt, you have a focus group as well. My kid is all over the Xbox.
Yep.
Now, if he isn't playing some sort of violent something game, whatever it may, I think he's got some sort of Grand Theft Auto version that he shouldn't be playing. I'm sorry, but I'm not really checking.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, him and his pals, it's baseball season. He does play. It's not his first sport, but he does play baseball. And I hear it. They are all into now. Back to MLB The Show.
Yeah.
And dad, who's the second baseman for the Astros? I don't know, son. Dad, who's the catcher for the Mariners? I don't know. I can't play this game with you. I don't know. Let me show you this batting stance of the shortstop for the Twins. I'm making this stuff up. But that's the conversation around the house now. And it's right to his brain through the Xbox. And I think the sports leagues nowadays are in a place where I'm not sure if they care. If you show up, you can monetize a fan really well if they're sitting at that Xbox and they've got my credit card for in-game buys and things like that.
How much do you think your son spends in the MLB ecosystem? He's not going to games, right? And he's not watching.
Occasionally,
games.
We will go to two or three games a year. Yes.
That would be my concern is that you can play MLB The Show all you want. And I know there's things that you can buy within the game, and baseball has a licensing deal to make that game. But trading the kid who, like me, who grew up loving the Mets and went to four or five games a year and watched dozens of them on television when he could, trading that for this 12-year-old who doesn't watch any games, occasionally goes to a game and consumes the thing purely on his Xbox, feels like a really bad trade.
Even at a time when we all see in stadium, we think everything's moving towards premium. You can get fewer fans. Like, something tells me if the Steinbrenners wanted to build Yankee Stadium again,
yeah,
it'd be smaller, more premium.
Yeah.
But they didn't. I got it. But if we are moving toward that premium hospitality, premium experience, I mean, look at the scale. This is what I'm going to bring it up. David Stern and I used to discuss all the time. The number of seats times the number of games. It's a finite number versus the people in the world who can touch your game, your broadcast via an Xbox, via a phone, via a watch. There's just infinitely more number of people that you can figure out how to monetize who don't go to games.
And that's the argument the NBA makes, yeah. Right? Yes. I mean, it's exactly what the NBA people, the NBA's ratings, most of the NFL.
People will never go to an NBA game.
99% will never go, but they touch it through video games, through consuming content on social media. And the NBA pushes back like, don't compare us to the NFL. We're more than that. Look at all the different ways that people consume our game. And so I think through video games, through fantasy sports, it's not the NFL, but fantasy sports and baseball is a big deal.
That goes hand in hand. When I think of fantasy, I think of baseball. Like, that's where kids are going to pick their teams and learn stats. And teachers are using baseball now to teach math. Just different touch points. I can't do it, but.
Yeah, I don't want to sound too much like I'm the big baseball.
You are. We're both looking at you.
Maybe I am. Honestly, like, to me, baseball, looking long term at franchise ownership, baseball is a local thing. It's not the international people who can't come to game. It is, can you get a family of five to come to games consistently on a Tuesday or a Thursday night? Like, that to me is what's going to make or break baseball.
If you're giving away a Costanza bobblehead, you can.
In two decades. Yeah, it's creative things like that maybe figure out some way to work with MLB The Show to get your kid to say, Dad, on Tuesday night, I want to go to the Yankee Stadium because they're doing something that
I don't know had a concert Fortnite. So what can Major League Baseball do within the show? What can they have? What, I don't know. I'm trying to think about, how do you touch the kid and get him to come to the ballpark?
You think about it this way, like, whatever Jackson's paying for in the game, what if there was a way that you only got that on site? Yeah. At a summer Wednesday night game, A's versus Yankees. And if you showed up, you got a little coupon with a QR code, and he could scan that and get whatever the thing is he would otherwise pay for, only available. Things like that, I think, are maybe the middle ground here.
See, Eben doesn't know how evil these people are in the video game business. So I'm going to mention something. How evil these people are. So, Kurt, I'm going to propose this to you because you understand in-game purchases. What do you think would happen from a revenue perspective if in MLB The Show, let's say for every 9 innings you played, 10, whatever it is, 2 games, 18 innings you played, that you for a dollar could add a mile per hour to your pitcher, or could add a 2% better eye on your batter? I know my kid, in competition with his pals, would spend so much money to achieve the better players. I'm just talking about separating me from my cash. You know, you don't have to have them in the stadium to do it.
So there's your answer. Give away the 99 rating Aaron Judge only to people that attended this specific MLB The Show game at Yankee Stadium. Again, I think the big challenge is figuring out a way to monetize the thing that young kids find cool about baseball, which seems to be maybe more gaming than it is the actual sport itself, and trying to tie those two things together.
Well, I think every stadium is dealing with this, whether it's attracting to young people or people who want to be involved in social media. So it's party spaces. All these, you know better than anybody. I mean, all these stadiums are looking to how to bring people in to do more than just the game, because people want more than just the game. And so baseball, more than any of the other major sports that we talk about, I mean, maybe hockey, but I mean, certainly compared to the NFL and NBA, I mean, it's a local sport. And you see that in the valuations.
Yep.
You can buy a baseball team for $1.3 billion.
Miami Marlins, $1.2 billion. I know somebody who buys season tickets for the Marlins just to get the food. They don't even stay for the game because you get a really good meal.
Yeah,
that's good arbitrage.
Better. Everyone should make their food better.
You can't get in. You can't get into the NBA or the NFL. I mean, we have the get-in price of the NBA, $3 billion. Almost every Major League Baseball team is valued below that.
Not for A-Rod.
You know?
Hold on the story. But let me ask this question. So I'm looking down the list here, right? Yankees, Dodgers, Red Sox, Cubs, Giants, Braves, Astros, Phillies. So I get to the Mets at number 9. They're down 3 positions, the Mets, but they're up 3% in valuation. Now, we all know what Steve Cohen's trying to do. He's trying to develop Willett's Point, hotel, retail, casino. Like, again, I look at these things as just sort of the hub of what these look at the battery down in
Atlanta.
Look
at the three teams.
This is what people are doing.
Look at the three teams ahead of them, all up more than 20% ahead of the Mets.
I printed this sheet out, but somehow Scott got to it.
Oh, yeah. What happened?
I printed this piece of paper out.
Now I need my information because I stole your chair. Phillies plus 23, Astros plus 24, Braves plus 24. Here, take your paper so you have something intelligent to say.
So, to your point, the battery has been an absolute home run. You know, spits off $40 million a year in cash flow for the Braves.
For people who don't know what the battery is, just like
the battery is the mixed use development that is around Truist Park. And it is really the model that every baseball team or sports team for that matter looks to when they start thinking about mixed use development, because it's been a tremendous success. And again, it's the model for basically every sports team out there right now. And so the Houston Astros, they just announced plans for their own mixed use development. The Texas Rangers have had a successful development. We're seeing the value of those franchises up a lot because it's a diverse revenue stream. Also sits outside of the revenue stream system. All those teams pay into the system, and this is a way to generate cash flow that doesn't get taxed.
I talk about it all the time when we go up to New England and the hockey teams there we play. We got like a 4-hour break until our next game, and all the kids and actually some of the parents, they want to go to Patriot Place. It's like, hey, where's the nearest Olive Garden? Well, let's go to the one at Patriot Place. I'm like, why? There's another one that's, you know,
Scott
2 miles.
Loves the Patriot Place.
Yes, it's true.
Loves the Patriot
Place. But I think it goes to the psychology of it all. People want to go just because they can sit next to an empty stadium, but it's Patriot Place. So what? I know I work in this business and I'm not excited by an empty Gillette Stadium, but there's that tangential pull.
It resonates with a lot of people. Yeah. It resonates with a lot of people.
I mean, soup and salad and breadsticks resonates with me. Patriots resonates with all the other parents.
Yeah.
Another trend I see in the last few valuations you've done, Kurt, is the growth seems to be happening at the top of the sport. And that's a dichotomy to the NBA, which when you were on the show a few months ago talking about how the floor just came up.
Yeah.
It feels like the there are 5 teams here, it looks like, that had a year-over-year growth change of more than 15%. They're all in the top 12. It's the Rangers at 12. It's the Phillies, the Astros, the Braves, and the Dodgers, right? Some of the most valuable teams in the league.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Am I correct in thinking that that is going to continue to why? It feels like we're getting to the Premier League.
Well, it's to your point.
Top 8 or 10, and then there's everyone else.
It's to your point. Baseball is a local business right now.
Yeah.
And those are the teams that can big market teams can monetize baseball a lot better than small market teams right now. They also, most of the Bally sports teams are sitting at the bottom of the financial table.
Yeah.
So, again, Yes is going to be a successful ongoing concern. Nesson, Marquee with the Cubs. And also, when we talk about valuing these franchises, including the related businesses, all the teams at the top own pieces of equity in RSNs. They have mixed use developments. They have other areas that they've taken their brand into that have generated significant value.
Here's another thing I would say, Scott, and you know more owners than almost any journalist in our industry, if not more. Everybody wants to win. Owners buy these teams.
I disagree with the premise.
Most of them want to win.
Okay, that's a different statement.
I see increasingly as these trends continue, Kurt, I see 10 teams that can win a World Series realistically if things continue. I just it's unlike any other sport in the way that it's structured, and I just don't see how you can buy the Minnesota Twins. You have them here at $1.7 billion and expect to have a chance to win the World Series.
Where are the Rays?
It's surprising to me. The Rays are way at the bottom.
Okay, I can expect to win with the Rays almost every year.
I think that moving forward, you can't. I think the Rays have done an amazing job. I think that's true. I think they have figured something out about player evaluation, particularly for a club of their size, that other people have struggled to figure out. But I just think in a few years, if these trends continue and the way that spending operates, I see the Premier League. I just see a whole class of teams here that you can buy and have no chance of winning with. And that is also something that, I mean, it hurts for fans, I think. But I also think from an investment standpoint, it would confuse me a little bit as well.
Well, some of these owners actually own Premier League teams, so it's not surprising that it would mirror the league.
We got David Blitzer here with the Guardians at number 24.
Yeah. Todd Boehly with the Dodgers. So, I mean, yeah, some are at the high end or some are, Crystal Palace, not exactly in the big six of the Premier League.
Yeah.
So, we do understand. Tell me about the Dodgers. I mean, because they're sitting on this real estate, which Frank McCourt, by the way, owns 50% of. Mm-hmm. And all these things we're talking about, I'm reading about, what are they talking about getting from downtown LA to the stadium? It just seems like
a gondola.
What are they doing? What is that thing that they're talking about?
Like a tram.
Okay. Yeah. By the way, we have here a phone call coming in from representative of an owner, which we will not take on the air.
Bummer.
Yeah, but she's like, which team is poised to do more? They have all their cash from their TV deal. It's great. Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons why back then they paid $2 billion for the team. Yep. You know, they knew the TV money first with Charter. So they're set there. They've got classic ballpark. They've got big market. For now, they've got a super megastar player. We haven't even discussed that yet. But where's the upside? If you were going to go after one of these teams, and I'm just curious for the Dodgers because I find them fascinating in terms of things that they can still do. But where's the upside on this list? If Kurt Bodenhausen had the cash, where is he saying this is the team I would target for upside?
Well, if you're looking at the top of the table, it's the Dodgers.
Okay.
Because they are the one. The Yankees are not going to do a real estate development around Yankee Stadium. That's not an option. But the Dodgers, to your point, are sitting on this land. And they have plans to do something. But as we know, California, things can take a while. And so they will reach a point where eventually they will figure out what makes sense, what realistically they can get through that people aren't going to shoot down and can pass permitting and all those different things that, again, can be a challenge in California. Huge upside. I talked to a banker last week who says, I think there is a path for the Dodgers to be more valuable than the Yankees, which, sounds blasphemous. Yeah. But again, Ohtani, if it works, I know he's only one player, and if he is there for 10 years and it works how they think it's going to work, they've been rolling as it is for the last 10 years. And you add that on top of it and the opportunity there with the real estate. The Dodgers are the team that, again, if you look at top 10 teams that have that opportunity, and then the Mets too. If Steve Cohen figures out the real estate around Citi Field, again, he's going to spend. We've seen that, at $100 million luxury tax bill last year. But he also, institutional investor says he made $1.6 billion from his hedge fund. So again, people were worried about Steve Cohen buying in. It's because he makes more than $1 billion every single year from his hedge fund.
Well, that was the argument, let's be careful. He's going to outspend everybody and change the game.
Okay, so they put in the Cohen tax, which, of course, he quipped better than having a bridge named after you, which I love.
Absolutely.
I feel like I am the negative Nancy and like everything I'm saying on this podcast, but I want to talk about the Oakland Athletics also. Yes. Kurt, you have them here at
huge upside there.
At number 26, $1.37 billion. Trying to move to Vegas. I imagine that would dramatically increase that number valuation. If things do not work out in Vegas, we could talk about what would happen. In the meantime, this team is going to be, from a commercial standpoint, I think is going to be one of the biggest disappointments we've seen in baseball in a very long time. The fans seem upset. They can't leave Oakland in the interim because then they lose their TV money. But it doesn't seem like they're going to be able to draw particularly well. They've drawn very poorly recently, and fans are only angrier now than they were in the past few years. I think the Oakland A's are going to be such a fascinating business study this year. I am curious how you think about valuing a team that has such a big delta between what this thing could be and what it could not be, depending on how that situation works out in Vegas.
I gave Kurt the one finger up. Hold 1 second. Can you name a single Oakland A? Evan Novi Williams.
Right now?
Right now? No, tomorrow.
Oh, I was going to say Coco Crisp.
Mark Mulder. Yes.
Can
you name a single Oakland? I'm just curious.
Matt Chapman, is he still in the A's?
I have no idea.
No.
okay. Damn. So no.
So I can't. No.
That's something right there.
Can you?
I can't name a single.
I can't name one.
You can?
No. Okay. Wow. Oh, I cannot name one.
But you know Matt Palacio.
Matt Chapman just signed with the Giants. I know that.
One single Oakland A. Can you do it?
Chapman was the one.
Yeah. Okay, so no. All right, no. Four grown-ups who work in sports can't name a single A. Wow.
Now.
Yeah. Now tell me why they're worth what they're worth.
They're worth what they're worth because there is a slot value to owning an MLB franchise. Yeah. There are 30 of them. The upside there, you're paying a little bit of a premium over, say, the Marlins, because the upside, if Vegas works, is very, very good. Now, the next 4 years are going to be crazy dicey, and there's concerns throughout Major League Baseball about what that looks like.
Yeah.
Now, they are going to be supported by more revenue sharing because they have a stadium deal in place. So they got $27 million last year. They'll get more money. They'll get 75% of their allotted share this year, and then 100% next year. So
is that contentious? Like, do other owners, are they looking at that and they're like, I feel like we're subsidizing this team that can't really figure out what it's doing, or
that was put into the last CBA with the idea, but they needed a stadium agreement to get the money because big market teams are not allowed to get revenue sharing money. But they thought the A's, like as a lifeline, and maybe almost as an encouragement to get a stadium deal in place by a deadline, they need to have it in place by this January in order to get the money. And so the reality is their stadium revenue is such a small piece of where they are right now.
Yeah.
It's the local TV deal, which you brought up, which is a big deal. Mm. They get their revenue sharing check, and then they get their regular check from Major League Baseball. And so
5,000 fans a game.
So 5,000 games, again, they're going to lose a lot of money, and they're going to lose a lot of money over the next 4 years. But if you can take your value from 1.3 to 2.5, which, that's a potential, covers your losses. But again, the Vegas thing has to work. I mean, the party line from the team and Major League Baseball is 100%. No questions asked. They're going to be in Vegas in 2028. What the next 4 years looks like, though, is super tricky. Because to your point, it's going to be a disaster. And they have nowhere to play in 2025.
I'm looking at – this is the worst part. I'm looking at the A's roster right now.
and they still can't name anybody.
There's one. First of all, I don't know. There's a guy named Nick Allen. Anybody? I'm just interested. 5'8", 166 pounds for Major League. That's pretty interesting. I know outfielder Miguel Andujar. Like, I've heard that name. I would not have guessed him on the A's. But I'm now looking at the roster. None of this means anything to me. Nobody is jumping out like, oh, right.
Well, their payroll. I haven't seen their payroll Michael this Kelly, year, but I'm assuming tiny. Their payroll is nothing.
But sure. Even so, like, man. Well, I mean, I guess there'd probably be a bunch of teams we could do this. I wouldn't know because I just don't know.
Yeah, I mean, but none of us are huge sports fans, I don't think. But yeah, I think this is a payroll thing. Going back to the point I was making about how
this is going like to be. I'm going to follow the A's this year. I'm going to make them my team to follow.
You're going to be the only one. you can sit anywhere in the house, I promise you.
Do you think the ushers keep you from going down? Like if I buy section 400 and I want to go down behind home plate, you think they stop?
Such a great question.
I went to an A's game 2019. great experience. The energy was great. The fans were great.
I have been to the Coliseum.
It was a really good experience.
I think that experience is probably gone, is my guess.
Yes.
The fervent there's, fan yeah, aspect yeah, yes. of the A's fandom,
no,
I think.
Absolutely. No, they're ticked. You know, the basketball team moved to San Francisco. Obviously, the Raiders left town. I think Oakland sports fans the right NCAA now are a little frustrated.
Michigan, turns out.
That's a good one. That was a good one. Yeah, exactly. That's what everybody wants to see. At least now you know we're in Michigan. All right, give me the paperback so I can see.
There you go.
All right, let me see. I'm going to American League, National League, American, National, National, National. Can't even tell what team that is. It's hard for me to see. National. All right, so. I mean, we just go by market here, like big market, small market, American, National. What's the size of market got to do with valuation? What are my corollaries here that I need to take away in baseball?
Oh, market size is everything. Yeah. I mean, you know, you can be a super valuable NFL team and, you know, not be in the biggest market, and even the NBA. But
just because
the
so
local economics are what drives these values, and there's no comparison.
Do you happen to know off the top of your head what the biggest market is that doesn't have a baseball team? It's interesting to me that Vegas is obviously a totally different economic market, but it is not a large market by any means.
No. It's in the 40s, I think.
I know Portland's trying to get a baseball, or has been talking about trying to get a baseball team.
Charlotte, Tennessee. Charlotte's got to be one of the bigger markets.
Nashville's trying to get a team?
Nashville's trying to get a team.
Yeah.
But local economics, I mean, the Yankees generate 10 times local revenue that the Marlins or the A's might generate. Yeah. I mean, That doesn't happen in the other sports leagues.
So when do we get where the Steinbrenners?
I mean, hockey, they fill the arena. Everybody, you know, again, you might only draw 85% capacity, but like everybody for the most part fills their arena in hockey and basketball.
What could the Steinbrenners do? And I know this is just theoretical, but let's say they, in concentric circles, started buying plots of land around Yankee Stadium and got, I don't know, 15 blocks in every direction, 10 blocks in every direction, 5 blocks in every direction. If you have Wrigleyville, if you had Yankeeville, you know, keep stands where it is. I got it. You know, but if you had Yankee and it's the restaurants, it's retail, it's the hotel, the whole shebang, man, what do you think the Yankees would do with something like that? Ooh, pregnant pause.
I
there would be so much uproar. Local community organizers.
I got it.
I think it's a good question because you're right. When you were talking, Kurt, earlier
about
the Dodgers and the advantage they have just by not chance, but by virtue of what's around their stadium versus and the Mets, for example, right? Just compare the two New York teams. The Mets have a lot that they can do without displacing a whole lot in the area around their stadium. The Yankees have essentially zero, from what I understand. There's nothing.
All right. So what about
the Red Sox are confronting this also?
But the Cubs did it. The Cubs did it in a very tight space.
Yes.
And the Red Sox, I mean, they bought up a lot of land. They developed the immediate area and done the immediate area around Fenway has a lot going on there, but they obviously have bigger aspirations, what they're doing with their real estate company. But
what about what
these
you
are challenges,
brand, though, Kurt? Let's look at the Dallas Cowboys. Let's go to the NFL. Like the star is not next to the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the brand affinity where they have the home of high school football. They have rehabilitation. They have hospital. They have hotel. It's just the fact that people want to be close to the brand. Certainly the Yankees could do something like that.
You guys are both North Jersey suburban guys.
Yeah.
Like could Yankeeville work in Bergen County or in Essex County? Probably, right?
Yeah,
they'd have to bring in Blitzer with his youth sports push.
You know, Harris Blitzer towards the transition.
Not really. But I guess. We didn't really talk about the Orioles. But I mean, they did just sell.
Yeah.
A couple hours ago approved. David Rubenstein taking over the team. Boy, from an on-field perspective, you can't have a better time to take over there. I mean, they are on the rise. They've got young stars. They've got a absolutely stocked minor league system. They got a ballpark people love. People go just to go. It's not about the winning. It's about the experience. I think that's a big advantage. I mean, I would think Orioles at 18 probably have some pretty good room to grow.
Big upside. Absolutely. They're about hundreds of millions of dollars about to get sunk into the park in terms of renovation because Camden Yards is getting a little long in the tooth at this point. It's over 30 years old. But in terms of that middle group of teams, I think the Orioles really stand out in terms of a ton of potential.
And no better time for, if you're a fan of the Orioles, no better time for having new owners. Right? There was all this concern that the Angelos family probably would not open its checkbook to keep all of these stars in place in the next few years. We'll see what the Rubenstein group does. It has a lot of money, but yeah, no better time to have someone you have more faith in spending at the helm than right now for the Baltimore Orioles.
I cannot wait to see Mike Bloomberg sitting on the dugout side, first base dugout, just popcorn and beer.
Phone in his hand.
How many more outs do they get?
Reading Bloomberg.
Yeah, exactly. How many innings? How many outs? Wait, what's this pitch clock thing? That I would love. Evan, close it out, my friend.
Alrighty. Special thanks to Kurt Bodenhausen. You can find Kurt on Twitter at @KBodenhausen. He is Scott Soshnick. You can find him on Twitter at @Soshnick. I am
Kurt,
Evan Novi Williams.
Talk through him to see if we can distract
him. You can find me on Twitter at @Novi_Williams.
He's looking at the camera too.
I'm curious if folks at home notice we are in person. We're trying out this new studio.
What do you mean we're in person?
We're live in the same place. Usually Scott and I are recording in different rooms.
But why did you do that in the middle of the close?
I'm just curious if people notice, because I'm going to thank Cora Veltman and Matt Palacio, who are here with us, who did all of
neither paying attention
here,
both on their phones.
Special thanks also
to Corey. You know any Oakland A's? That makes five. Okay, good.
None of us know any Oakland A's. Special thanks to Aaron Greenewald, who produces the show after we record it. Thank you very much, Aaron. Cora, of course, is Sportico's digital media editor. She would like you to know that you can follow the show at Sporticast, which is the hub of the Sportico Media Network.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.